the truth will make you free. Make you free. And I'm glad that it made us free. Amen. And whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Amen. I thank God for Jesus and all that He's done for us tonight. And without Jesus, I heard one little blonde-headed preacher say we'd all just be a big zero with the rim knocked off. Y'all ever heard anybody say that? Huh? Take your Bibles with me and turn to 1 Samuel tonight. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. That's about 45 minutes worth of preaching that bottle. Give me another bottle. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody else hot? Y'all hot? Talk to me. Well, then y'all won't get mad if I take my jacket off. Will you? I'll probably lose my voice. I used to lose my voice every time I preached, just about. And my pastor told me, he said, son, or actually his wife told me, she said, Brother Bobby used to lose his voice when he was younger and he preached all the time. And she said, his pastor told him, son, quit taking your jacket off and you won't lose your voice. And he said he did, and his voice is done a whole lot better. And I'll be honest, last about 2 years, I've tried to wear my jacket, but it's hard sometimes. Sometimes I get excited and come out of it. Sometimes I just get plumb hot. But it will make a difference. I'm hoping this vest will help tonight. Somebody said that wasn't a vest. It was a chicken coop. But you didn't get that? Anyway, 1 Samuel 30. Yeah, glad you're saved. Say amen. Amen. So go ahead and stand with me for a minute. Give yourself a little break. 1 Samuel 30. We'll start out in verse number 1. You know the Bible. David's been off to battle with his men. The Bible says in verse 1, and it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him, lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captive, Ahinoam and the Jezreelites, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal, the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. There's a good message right there, but that's not the message for tonight. But sometimes you just do need to encourage yourself in the Lord and keep going on. Verse 7 says, and David said to Abiathar, the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake him, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. Now hold your thought right there and get the picture of what's going on. Just hold your finger. We're going back to reading in just a second. But David and his men been off the battle. They come back to Ziklag, and the place has been destroyed. The women have been taken captives. And so David takes 600 men, and he's got 600 men, and they're going to go after him. But 200 of these people can't go on. You with me? 200 of them. Y'all with me in verse number 10 that said, David pursued he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Besor. So 200 of them staying, they're not going on the trip this time. They're not going to battle. And verse 11, and they found an Egyptian in the field and brought him to David and gave him bread. He did eat. And they made him drink water. And they gave him piece of a cake of figs, two clusters of raisins. When he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. David said unto him, to whom belongest thou, and whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days agone I fell sick. Let me say that. When Satan gets done with you, he'll leave you alone too and just drop you where he's done with you. In verse 14, we made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fires. Here he is, he's bragging to David about what he'd done to David's people. You with me? David's on the hunt for this crowd that's done this. David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? And he said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring thee down to this company. When he had brought him down, behold, there was spread abroad upon all the earth, eating, drinking, and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. David smote them. Watch it now. David said, hey, y'all destroyed my people. Y'all have taken my wife captive. Hey, here's what he said. And he recovered all. Said he smote them from twilight even unto the evening of the next day. There escaped not a man of them, save 400 men, which rode upon camels and fled. David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away. David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil nor anything they had taken to them. David recovered all. So he went back and he found them and he got it all back. And verse 20 says, and David took all the flocks and the herds which they drave before those other cattle and said, this is David's spoil. David came to the 200 men. Remember the 200 that stayed behind, that couldn't go. They were too faint. David came to the 200 men, which were so faint that they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook Besor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men and the men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, watch it now. These men said, hey, they didn't go to battle. They don't deserve anything back but their wives and their children. That's what they said. They said they weren't soldiers in the army. They weren't going out. They stayed behind. They're not working. But watch what David said in verse 23. Then David said David, ye shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord, watch it, which the Lord hath given us. David said, what we've got, the Lord gave to us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. David said, that's not what you're going to do. He said, this inheritance and the things that we've got and the things that we've recovered and the things that's been preserved, he said, God gave them to us, and it's by God's grace. And he said, everything we've got is because God. And watch what's verse 24. He said, David said, for who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. I'm going to preach just for a little while, maybe about an hour, maybe about two and a half, I don't know, on this thought. Sticking with the stuff. Sticking with the stuff. We've got a generation today that we've been blessed. God's given us great things. And there's some people that's out on the front line preaching, and everybody sees them in the limelight, and everybody thinks they're going to get all the reward. But I want to say this, God blesses those that are faithful and stick by the stuff. And we need some people that will make up their mind, 2011, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I might not never be a preacher. I may never be a Sunday school teacher. I may never be a great evangelist. I may never preach in the sword of the Lord. I may never have a tent meeting. I may never have anything. I may never even have a bus route. But bless God, hey, what God's given me, I'm sticking with it. And I ain't giving up. And I ain't compromising. And I ain't giving in to the cares of the world. And I ain't giving in to the desires of the devil. Hey, we're going to stick by the stuff. God bless us. Now I'm telling you tonight, just for a little while, we'll preach a little while. I'm just kidding about that two and a half, probably about three and a half. Hey, on sticking with the stuff. We could take about 3 months of this kind of preaching, just to be honest with you. But God, help us tonight. Father, in Jesus' name, we sure do need you tonight. God, I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your mercy. God, I thank you for your precious, sweet, holy word tonight. I thank you for your Holy Spirit. God, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, I feel your presence tonight. I feel your touch. And Lord, I sure do need it. And I just tell you tonight, I can't do nothing without you that'll be profitable for anything. And Father, tonight, I sure do need you. And I'm asking you, Lord, for your unction. I'm asking you for your help. I pray you'd bless and all that's said and done. I pray you'd speak to hearts. I pray you'd challenge. I pray you'd encourage. I pray you maybe remind us some things that we begin to let falter. And God, I pray in Jesus' name tonight, you do a work in this building tonight in the hearts of your people. Head your will and way and all that's said and done. We'll praise you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. I want to talk tonight. I've already given you a little bit of an introduction on some things that we need to stick with. And some people, I want to remind you tonight, hey, God has blessed us. God's given us some things. Let me just say this. We're here in Walnut Cove, North Carolina, 15 minutes from Walkertown, one of the greatest churches probably in America, Brother Bobby Robertson. Hey, ain't no doubt about it. God's blessed this area, the Bible Belt, probably the buckle of the Bible Belt. God has blessed this area of the country, amen. God's given us His Word. He's given some of the greatest preachers, some of the greatest preaching, Bible teaching. Hey, some of the greatest people that ever walked the set of time in the Christian life. Hey, they come right through these hills. Amen. Come on now. Hey, and let me say, God's given us some things that we need to stick with. And let me say, just for a little while, I want to challenge you on some things that you and I, we need to stick with. Note, here we think about David and how he's got his men and they're going out to battle. They're going to recover what the enemy had taken away and how they'd taken their family and their goods and everything that they had. David takes his men. He takes 400 of them. 200 of them couldn't go. They were so faint from the battle before. They weren't able to go. They were a little tired. But hey, they didn't give up on David. They stuck by the stuff. They stood. The Bible says that they tarried by the stuff. And he said, listen, the thing, he said, this is it. He said, whoever's part that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarried by the stuff. David said, we're not going to forget the people. No, they might not have their name in the limelight. They may not ever make the big news. But hey, he said, they're sticking with the stuff and they're going to get the same reward. Lord, they're going to get the same inheritance out of this battle that we get. Amen. Hey, I'm not knocking anybody. If God's calling you to preach, preach. But if God don't never call you to preach, hey, it's okay just to be faithful where you are. Amen. It's okay just to be faithful to where God's called. If God's called you just to be a layman, just to be somebody that goes to church, witnesses, knocks on doors, tells people about the Lord at work, hey, if that's all God ever calls you to, it's okay. Amen. Hey, it's required of stewards that a man be found faithful. It didn't say that it's required of stewards to be made for a man to be found famous or rich or anything. Hey, but to be found faithful. Amen. And God help us to be faithful. And I quoted that verse this morning over in Proverbs. Hey, remove not the ancient landmark. Hey, that our fathers have already said he talked about. And there's some men of God, there's some people of God, hey, that's walked the sands of time before us, Brother Robbie, and they've gone on down before us. I'm thinking about men like Brother Lester Roloff, Brother Mays Jackson, and some of them old saints of God, hey, years gone by, and they've blazed the trail, and they've set out some landmarks. They set out some landmarks. They've got some faith. I'm talking about the old path, amen. Hey, we still need to seek out the old path and walk therein, amen. Hey, I'm telling you, Jeremiah 6:16 still in the book. Hey, seek the old path wherein is rest, and you shall, he said, you shall find rest for your soul. But the Bible says, and they would not walk therein. God's people in Jeremiah's day didn't want to do it. And I'm here to tell you, there's a lot of people in 2011 don't want to do it. Hey, we just take whatever comes. We'll make a little bargain with the devil and we'll just do this and this. It don't really matter. Hey, what would have happened if David came back to the camp and all them 200 was gone? Right. I'm telling you, these 200 that stuck with the stuff was important. Now, I'm going to get into some things, but you get in your mind what was going on now. David and his men, they've been out to battle. They've been out there recovering the spoil. That's all their goods, all their belongings. They're getting it back. But they ain't got nowhere to take it to if somebody don't stick with the stuff. Right. You say, I don't know about them. Hey, them 200 people was needful where they were. Yes, watch them in hell. Hey, I'm talking about fundamental things that you and I need to be faithful to in 2011. I'm talking about things that have been, hey, passed on from generations. Hey, since the apostles. The Word of God. Hey, watch it now. I'm going to give you about, I don't know, 10 things. No, I'm probably about 5-6 things. And we'll go eat some ice cream and go to the house. Amen on that?
Amen.
Amen. Watch me now. Hey, fundamental things that you and I need to stick with. Hey, I'm talking no questions about.
Right.
No bending, no compromising. No, well, we'll flip a coin. See, no, I'm talking about things we need to stick with, come hell or high water, if they like it, if they don't like it, if the sword of the Lord likes it, if the sword of the Lord don't like it. Hey, it don't matter who we are, don't matter who we ain't. Hey, we sticking with the stuff. Come on, it don't matter if the Southern Baptists like it or the Catholics like it. Don't matter who don't like it. Hey, who gives a rip except God, what He cares about? Amen. Hey, if God approves, hey, we need to stick with it. So watch me now. I know you say it's exciting. This matters to me. This matters. What we're going to preach about matters. Hey, let me say this. Hey, when David and his men went off to battle, I believe those 200 men, hey, if you'll allow me, I believe they had to stick there because they had the food. Watch it now. Somebody's got to stick with the food. All right? Watch me now. They're going off to battle. They can't carry everything with them. And what they've got left that hadn't been already taken, what they got left, those 200, hey, they're sitting there gardening. They're sitting there cultivating. Maybe they're growing a garden. I don't know what they're doing. Maybe they got a big old steer tied off, and they're sitting there making them, growing them some T-bone steaks. Hey, man. I don't know what it is. Hey, but somebody's got to stick with the food. Somebody's got to stick with food. And by the way, the Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, where boy, he said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the what? The Word. The sincere milk of the Word. Let me say this. Somebody in 2011 needs to make up their mind they're going to stick with the Word of God. Hey, the Word of God is our food. The Word of God is what we eat. It's what we drink. It's our water of life. It's the bread of life. The Word of God is where we get our nutrition to live a Christian life. The Word of God matters. And I'm talking about, let me just go ahead and put it out. I'm talking about the King James Authorized Version. Amen. Hey, it really does matter. It really does make a difference. Let me say this. You say, well, I got this and then I got this. And hey, I don't care what you got. I'm going to say like Curtis Hudson said 30 years ago, things that are different are not the same. Hey, things that are different are not the same. Hey, and if you say, well, this was just a little bit different, one of them's a little bit wrong. And like Brother Jack Howell said 30 years ago, hey, if mine's wrong, you show me which one's right. But this one stood the test of the time, and ain't nobody else got the backbone to say the NIV's right, or the New American's right, or the New King James. Let me say there ain't nothing new about the New King James. It's an old lie wrapped in a new package. And there ain't nothing King James about it, except for the last part of its name. It follows the same manuscripts, and I know this is a lot, but it follows the same a pattern as the NIV and the rest of them. Don't fall prey to all they did was took the these and the thous out. Matter of fact, if that's all they did, that was enough to ruin it. Right. Those these and thous and yees, hey, they make a difference between singular and plural, and you got to know who God's talking to.
Right.
Don't get all quiet now.
Right.
I don't know which side you're on. I'm not offering suggestions. I'm telling you what's mandatory, hey, for the success and for the, hey, preservation of what we are. We call ourselves old-time religion. Old-time. Hey, we're old-fashioned. Are we old-fashioned? I'm talking about sticking with the food. Somebody's got to stick with the food. Let me just say what this Psalms chapter 12. Let's look at a few verses tonight. Look at a few verses with me. I'm talking about the Word of God. It's the printed Word. It's the preserved Word. Hey, it's the preached Word. Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. He didn't say preach Reader's Digest or preach Time Magazine. He said preach the Word. Hey, there's a lot of preachers. If it wasn't those social events going on, they wouldn't know what to preach. Because all they preach is what's in the news. Amen. We got 66 books of news that's way more up to date than any newspaper, any internet, hey, any television show, any 2020. Hey, this book's way more up to date than any of that. Psalm 12. Psalm 12, verse number 6, the Bible says, the Word of the Lord, or what?
Pure.
What's pure mean?
Pure.
It means it's free from all defilement. Hey, the words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation. And when?
Forever.
Forever. He didn't say, well, you know what? I mean, I think the King James is the best, and but I think we could improve. How are you going to improve on perfect and pure? How are you going to improve on something that God said it was pure and He was going to preserve it from this generation to ever? Come on now. Go over to Psalm 119. We might as well just look at a few scriptures tonight while we're flipping through. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 119, verse 31. Watch it now. I'm talking about sticking with the stuff, amen. The psalmist wrote it just like I said it. He said, I have stuck, verse 31, Psalm 119, I have stuck unto thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. The psalmist said, hey, God, hey, I'm sticking with your word. I'm sticking with your testimony, your word. Hey, don't let me go to shame. Don't put me to shame. I'm sticking with your book. Go on over to Psalm 119. Hey, verse number 89. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Verse 87. For they had almost consumed me. Think about David. And he's almost dead and his family's been taken. Hey, think about this. For they had almost consumed me upon earth, but I forsook not thy precept. Let me say this. We do not need, hey, to have a debate on what Bible's the Bible. We don't need to debate. We don't need to be like some of the Southern Baptists and every year have a vote on whether the Word of God's inspired, whether it's perfect, whether it is God's Word in its entirety. Psalm 119, 140, thy Word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it. He didn't say thy Word is sort of pure. He didn't say thy Word is kind of good. He didn't say thy Word is just, you know, all right. He didn't say it's the best of what we... He said thy Word is very pure. Therefore, thy servant loveth it.
Amen.
Look at verse 160. Thy Word is true. How long? From the beginning. And every one of thy righteous judgments endureth how long?
Forever.
Every last one of them. Go to 2 Timothy. I'll just give you a couple of them. I want you to look at a few things. Oh, man, we could preach right here all night. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Oh, God help us. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 tonight. Hey, if you've got some questions, hey, take some notes, jot it down, write it on the flyleaf of your Bible and on the inside of your heart. Right here it is. Verse 14, Paul's writing to his son in the faith, Timothy. He says, Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Somebody said, well, the Word of God was inspired, but only in its original manuscripts. And if you ain't understanding tonight, that means that only what Paul wrote and Moses wrote and only what David, only those very tablets that they wrote on, that's what was inspired. And since then, it's all been corrupted and we just got copies of God. And it's true, we do got copies of God. But God promised Brother Steve that He was going to preserve it from that generation and forever. And let me say, that's just exactly what He did. Hey, and here's Paul. You think about Paul. He says to Timothy in verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And he said it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Wait a minute now. Verse 16, he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means that all Scripture is breathed out. It is the very breath of God. Hey, that is what your Word of God is in your lap tonight. Hey, every last single word. Hey, Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by, hey, every word. He didn't say every thought. He didn't say every idea. He didn't say every concept or everything. He said, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word.
Amen.
Come on now.
Amen.
Watch me now. Hey, Paul said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now, if you think, and just be realistic with me, and be just logical about this thing, when Paul was writing 2 Timothy, this letter, did he have a complete Word of God? Was the Word of God complete? John hadn't wrote the book of Revelation yet. Hey, Paul was writing 2 Timothy at the time.
Right.
Watch me now. When Paul wrote that and said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, specific, hey, we can apply that to the whole realm of Scripture today, but specifically, he's talking about the Old Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament Scriptures. And he's telling Timothy, you've had them Old Testament Scriptures. You've had maybe a few of the writings that had been written. He said, you've had them since you was a child. They're able to make you wise unto salvation. He said, but all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Now hold on. Timothy. AD 50, 60, somewhere right in there. 70, 80, right in there maybe. Go all the way back to Moses. Come on now, we're going 1,500, 2,000 years, couple thousand years. Hey, do you think, listen to me, this is the stupidest argument I hear modern people say. Do you really think that Timothy had the original tablet that Moses wrote on? Somebody help me. Do you think that Timothy had the original tablets of the Old Testament? No. But you know what Paul said? And when he wrote under inspiration, he said all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Hey, he said every last single bit of, hey, Timothy, the one you've had since you was a child, they're given by inspiration of God. They're copies of copies of copies of copies. Hey, but if you put something in a copy machine and it comes out, hey, picture perfect what you put in, guess what you got? You got a perfect, hey, preserved copy of what was on there to start with. And when them scribes and those people were copying those tablets and passing them on to generation and generation so that we could have them tonight.
Amen.
Hey, they're making a copy of a copy of a copy. And as long as that thing's coming off. And now I know they didn't have printing press. Come on now, y'all help me now. Hey, hey.
Yeah.
And hey, and history tells us, you can study history, and history tells us that the men who did this copying, that, hey, they would wash their hands thoroughly before they ever went to writing. When they got to the name God, they would stop and wash. I think when they got to the name Yahweh, they would wash some more. If they ever messed up, hey, if they made one, hey, what's the Bible say about one jot and one tittle? If they messed up one little iota, history says they would stop. They wouldn't just erase that part. They would destroy the whole manuscript and start all over. Sometimes maybe weeks, sometimes maybe even months of work. It's messed up. We've got to start over. That is how meticulous God's people have looked at the Word of God. And God has used His people to preserve the Word of God. Let me just say what I'm saying tonight. It's important we stick with the book. It's important. Hey, nobody needs to mess with my food. If you come to my house, my wife fixes a nice supper. Hey, I ain't letting you come over there and take your dirty work boot and put it in the middle of the lasagna. It ain't happening. I'll fight you over lasagna, amen. Hey, I'll fight you over nanner pudding.
Come on.
You come in my house, get in my refrigerator, in my stove, hey, and you mess with my food, guess what? You're going to have a fight on your hands. But Robbie, your wife cook? You better say amen. Your wife fixes a big old famous, I mean, just Thanksgiving turkey and stuffing and sweet tater casserole and pumpkin pie and hot rolls. Hey, man, I'm getting hungry. Forget ice cream. Where's the turkey? Hey, and she fixes a big old spread and she lays that thing out. And your next door neighbor comes in there and says, you know what, I think I can do something here. He walks in there with his old dirty hands. He's been out there working in his car. And he reaches up in there and he says, I think I'll change something. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? Somebody, hey, it's going to be a fight on his hands. Come on now. I mean, I think, hey, hold on. God gave you a perfect word. Promised to preserve it. Gave it to you by inspiration. And you're going to let some bunch of people that wants to make a bunch of money making, hey, translation after translation after, all they're doing, hey, the more they sell, the more money they make.
Right.
That's what's behind it, amen.
Right.
You say, well, just the originals is inspired. Well, Paul told Timothy that all of them was inspired. And Timothy didn't have no originals. And if you think about this, you think about this. I'll give you this thought, and we've got to move on. Hell, the ice cream's going to melt. Hey, think about this. Y'all remember the book of Jeremiah? You read the book of Jeremiah? God gives it to Jeremiah, and he's got Baruch, and he's writing that thing?
Right.
Hey, and I might have them out of order, but hey, one time, hey, the king took the word, he took the scroll, and he threw it in the fire and burned it.
Right.
All right? One time, hey, Jeremiah took it and ate it. Y'all remember that? God told him to eat it. He ate the scroll. And one time, he threw it in the river.
Right.
But guess what you got in your King James Bible tonight? You got another copy of the book of Jeremiah.
Right.
Wait a minute. If just the originals was what's inspired, it's gone. One of them was burned. And then it was redone. It was, and then it was eight. And then it was thrown in. Wait a minute. According to modern philosophy, you ain't got a good copy of Jeremiah anywhere. It's stupid, people. Let me just tell you. I'm telling you, hey, somebody needs to stick with the stuff. Somebody needs to say, it's for me and my house. This old King James got the job done for 400 years. Hey, I believe God has been in it. And even before that, the line of manuscripts that He preserved and the people that used. Hey, I believe it. Hey, it's worked for 400 years. It's perfect. Hey, you can put it up to the test. Hey, I'm telling you, no great revival has ever happened in any land with any other translation other than this one right here.
Right. Amen.
Amen. And let me just say this in passing. All modern translations of the Bible since 1881 came off of a completely different set of manuscripts that were based out of Egypt, Alexandria, Egypt, where people didn't believe the Word of God. They didn't believe in the inspiration of the Word of God. They didn't believe in the very Word of God. They believed it was thoughts and paraphrases, and they could change this and change that and put it in their own word. And every, including the New King James, every one of them is either used or influenced, hey, by those manuscripts since 1881. And the King James Bible is the only one that comes off of the Textus Receptus, or the received text. And guess where it goes back to, Brother Robbie? The received text. Hey, in history, you can follow that line all the way back to Antioch. Guess where Brother Paul went to church? Guess where the Apostle Paul, hey, guess where his home church was? It was in Antioch, Jerusalem, amen. Amen. I just thought, hey, history says that we got the right stuff. Hey, we got it right, amen. Hey, when it comes to the Bible, we got it right. Hey, roll up your sleeves when they go to saying, well, it don't really matter about this and this and that. We did, hey, just put, take, hey, it's worth fighting over.
Amen.
Well, I don't know, preacher. I'm telling you, somebody better stick with the food.
Amen.
I'm telling you, somebody, but hey, not only that, somebody better stick with the family. There was people there in David's day that had to stick with the family. They had to stick with people that were faint. Maybe they were sick. Hey, if their families were going to be carried on, somebody was going to have to take care of them. Somebody's got to stick with the family. Let me say this. God has prescribed in the book of Genesis what a family is. It's a man and a woman.
Right.
One man, one woman, four life. Amen. It's not a man and five women. It's not a man and a man. It's not a woman and a woman. It's not a man and a dog.
Right.
Come on now. Hey, if our blessed America that we love to live in, and I do, amen, but if it's going to go on and see days ahead that have been or blessed like the days behind have been, hey, somebody's going to have to stand up, hey, and say, yep, I'm for marriage. I'm for God's plan. I'm for what the Word of God says. Hey, it does matter. We're not hating people, but we hate the sin. Hey, homosexuality is still out a pit of hell.
Amen.
It's still an abomination. Somebody said, well, I think God loves, hey, He does love them, but if they get saved, brother, He loves them too much to let them stay that way.
Right.
You read the book of 1 Corinthians, read 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, and such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified. Hey, I'm telling you tonight, hey, God will make a difference, friend.
Amen.
God's got a plan, and I'm saying in 2011, somebody needs to stick with the family.
Amen.
Somebody needs to say this is God's way, and this is the way it ought to be.
Right.
And it's worth fighting about. Somebody needs to know that when these kids grow up, they don't need to look over down at the mall and see two little boys walking down the mall holding hands, kissing on each other, and think, oh, that's all right. Hey, that's sick.
Right.
Hey, I said that's sick.
Amen.
Let me say, hey, and they don't need to see two little girls or two young ladies. Or they ain't ladies. What are they? They're dykes. I don't know what they are. Sodomites.
Right.
So I don't like it. Well, when God calls you to preach, you say it the way He wants you to say it. Hey, but I'm saying, I'm telling you, it's perverted. I'm telling you, it's sick. And I'm telling you, it ain't God's way. It ain't right. You ought not hate people, but you need to look at that and know that that's sin, and it makes God sick. It's a perverse. Hey, it's an abomination.
Amen.
I know the day's coming. We'll go to jail for saying that, but hey, we'll just have to go. Somebody needs to stick with the family. Let me say this. It don't even make good. I think I may have said this before. But if you start saying it's okay for this and it's okay for this, what's going to happen in 20, 30 years? Y'all worried about foreigners coming in and taking over. I don't know if I've ever seen Muslim sodomites. But if all Americans start being sodomites, who's going to procreate?
Right. Yeah.
Who's going to take over this country by default?
Right. Oh my. You're right.
I'm telling you, man. I'm telling you, it's time that it's time that the people of God start standing for what's right. You say, well, that's old-fashioned. Hey, just mark her down. I'm old-fashioned. Hey, I'm old-time. You call it what you want, but I ain't changing for you. I ain't changing for Barack Obama. I ain't changing for Bobby Robertson. I ain't changing for nobody, friend. Hey, if you like it, you like it. And if you don't, friend. Hey, it's time somebody sticks with the stuff.
Right. Amen.
Not only we need to stick with the food, not only stick with the family, but somebody needs to stick with the Ford. Hey, maybe they had a fort, a fortress there. Some way of setting up some type of protection. Maybe some way to set up some housing for when their soldiers came back. And here's those 200 they stuck behind, and they've got a fort there. They've got a place for David and his men to come back to. They've got a place to go to where they can encourage one another. They got a place where they can come back to and assemble. Huh, that's an interesting word. And not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Hebrews 10:25 is still in the book. Let me say this, in 2011, it's no time to go to the church less. It's no time to cut back on going to the church. It's no time to pitch it up for vote and say, I don't know, kids, we'll go to church if it suits. Or I don't know, hey, it depends on what on TV. It depends on with my ball team's playing on Sunday night. It depends on if the fish is biting Sunday afternoon. Hey, it don't depend on nothing, but hey, if the church doors is open, hey, we'll be there, amen. My parents are here tonight, and I just want to say publicly, thank God that when the church doors was open growing up, hey, it wasn't up to us. They didn't say, do y'all want to go to church? Hey, they said, get ready and get in the car. It's church time, amen. Amen. And we was raised on drugs. We was drugged to church Sunday morning. We was drugged to church Sunday night. And we was drugged to church Thursday night. Sometimes Friday night for prayer meeting. Sometimes Saturday for soul winning and knocking on doors. Hey, I'm telling you, it didn't hurt us a bit, friends. It's time somebody makes up their mind. They're sticking with the church. We'll be there on Sunday morning. We'll be there at Sunday school. We'll be there Sunday night. We'll be there Wednesday night. We'll be there for prayer meeting. We'll be there for soul winning. We'll be there when the church is on. Hey, when the church is functioning, hey, we'll be a part of it.
Amen.
It's time somebody sticks with the fort. Hey, if we all abandon the fort is going to be overtaken.
Right.
You say, why is these churches going contemporary? Why is this and that? Why are they doing this? I'll tell you why. Because the people that used to say they cared, and the people that used to fill those pews, and the people that used to be faithful, they're not there anymore. Their voice is not being heard.
Yes.
Let me say this. When you're not here, when the service is going on, that's your vote to say, it's not important, close the door tonight. You're absentee, unless you're working providentially. I'm not talking about y'all. Providentially, hey, but if you purposely say, no, they're having church and I don't care, that's your vote to say, close the doors. Somebody needs to stick with the fort. Watch this now, I got to hurry. Somebody needs to stick with the faith. I'm not talking about your faith in trusting Jesus Christ. Hey, that's settled, friend. If you're saved, you're saved. But I'm talking about the faith, the body of truth in which we believe.
Right.
Not just the Word of God, but the teachings of the Word of God that we've been taught. Sound doctrine.
Yeah.
But speak thou the things that become sound doctrine, Paul wrote. Hey, somebody needs to stick with the faith. Hey, look over at 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Right quick, 2 Timothy. Brother Roger Baker, one of my mentors, he helped instill this verse into me when I was in his Bible college, and I thank God that he did. Let me say this, it's not up to us to go out here and preach new things and come up with Fango Django. It's not up to us to come up with some kind of new ideas and some new exciting. You've never heard it like this. You turn on some of these religious broadcasting and there ain't nothing religious about them but the name.
Right.
Oh, you've never heard, you've never seen God move. Let me say, God's been working for years.
Yeah, right.
And He's still doing things the same way. Watch 2 Timothy chapter 2. And the things, verse 2. And the things, he tells him, hey, be strong in grace, it's in Christ Jesus, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same, the very same things you heard me teach, Timothy, commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, Timothy, you don't have to go out and worry. Hey, the book right here, preach the word, 2 Timothy 2. Hey, 2 Timothy 4, 2. Hey, preach the word. Right here it is. Jude, look over in Jude, just a few pages to your right, right before the book of Revelation. Jude, verse number 3, there ain't but one chapter, Jude, verse 3. Jude says, "Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation," he said, "Hey, I wanted to write and talk about how good it was to be saved. I wanted to just write and tell you about, hey, trusting Jesus and what Jesus did on the cross. I wanted to write and tell you, hey, about the good things of the common salvation." He said, "But," he said, "it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly," that's a strong word, "earnestly contend for the faith." He didn't say for faith, but for the faith. That is the body of truth. That is the doctrines that we understand. Hey, he said it was earnest that you must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Once and for all, lock, stock, and barrel, we got them all. What the apostles was preaching in the book of Acts and on down through the Pauline epistles as we read the word. That's the same thing we need to be preaching tonight. That same teaching. Hey, you say, what is that? Well, things like everlasting life. It's still in the book. Things like saved by grace, not works, not baptism, not good deeds. Saved by grace. Hey, saved by grace. Let me give you just a few things that we ought to hold on to, just a few doctrines that we've been holding on to for years as fundamentalists. I'm glad to be a fundamentalist. I ain't going to let no... Hey, they can call whatever they want out there in the Mideast. They ain't fun. They crazy minimalist. Non-mentalist. Anybody that tie a bomb around his waist and blow it up, he's a dummy mentalist. You know what I'm saying? Hey, watch it. Here's what fundamentalists we've been standing for, and we don't need to give. Hey, one of them, hey, we need to stick with is the inerrancy of Scripture.
Right.
It's perfect. Hey, it's right here, the inerrancy and the authority of the Word of God.
Right.
It's not up for debate. It's not up, hey, we've done already hit it a little bit. Hey, but it's not up for voting, friends. We believe in the inerrancy of the Word. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe that Mary was a virgin when the Holy Ghost came upon her and she conceived, and that thing that she conceived was of the Holy Ghost.
Right. Yeah. Right. Amen. Good.
She wasn't messed with by some Roman soldier.
Right.
She wasn't just a young woman. Your Bible says in the book of Isaiah, a virgin shall conceive.
Yes, right.
You say, "Well, I don't believe that. I don't understand that. How can a woman have a child without a father?" Well, let me do you one better. How can Adam, become without a mother or a father?
There you go. Yeah. Amen.
It's in the book, friend. It happened.
Yep. Right. Amen.
Virgin birth. It still matters. Hey, if Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, hey, pack your bags, we're all going to hell.
You're right.
If Jesus wasn't born of a virgin, hey, we have no hope. But he got his body from his mama, but he got his blood from his daddy, amen. Born of a virgin. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. Hey, Jesus is God. In 2011, Jesus is still God. He's not just a good man. He's not just a good teacher. He's not just some great prophet. Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning, John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. 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 He's talking about Jesus. In the beginning was Jesus, and Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. Amen. Hey, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Amen.
Hey, let me say this. I don't care, what that idiot down there in Atlanta, Georgia, that black guy, what his name is, Creflo, "I want all your dollars." He says, and along with a bunch of those other Word of Faith, they say, "Well, Jesus was just born a regular man, but when he went and got baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit came upon him, then he became anointed, and he became, God or deity. And when he went to the cross, he became sin and he lost his deity." Let me say this. That's a hogwash lie out of hell.
Right.
Let me say this. If Jesus ever ceased to be God, he never was God.
Right.
Jesus has always been God. Let me say this. He was God way before the virgin birth. Jesus was God way back yonder in the eons of eternity past. Let me say this. Jesus was God when he was scooping out the Grand Canyon. Jesus was God when he was speaking into being those things that would be. Jesus was God, when he was created and speaking into being the world. Jesus was God when he was coming up with the plan, along with the Father and the Spirit of salvation. Jesus is God. Hey, that's not up for vote. Jesus is deity. He always has been and He always will. Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. That don't mean that Jesus does everything that He did at all times. Hey, but that means in His essence, He's always the same. His character never changes. Right. He's always God.
Right. Amen.
Always. Good. If He ever ceases to be God, He never was God.
Right.
Hey, and if He ever was not God, He never could be God.
Right.
We're talking about the Savior of the world, especially to them that believe. No, hey, we're not voting on it. I don't care what the Mormons say. Well, He was one of God's sons, and through His great obedience, He became a God. Not hold what. He is not a God, He is the God.
Amen. That's right. Right. You're right. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Amen, Brother Gregory. Amen. Jesus is God. His deity. Hey, watch it now. His substitutionary death and His atonement of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not up for debate. Hey, you don't get saved through the church. Amen. By paying some type of little dowry or something to the church. You don't get saved. Hey, let me just say this on a side note. There ain't no such thing as purgatory. I'll give you $1 million if you can take this Bible for about 3 months, study it all inside and out, and you bring me one mention of a place called purgatory, I'll give you $1 million.
Yep.
Now, I have to borrow it from Brother Steve Tysinger, but I ain't too worried about it because it ain't in there. It ain't in there. It's a lie out of hell. The only way you'll ever get to heaven is through the substitutionary atoning death of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It's His blood and His blood alone. Nothing in my hands I bring, but simply to the cross I cling, my friends. The substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. There ain't no doubt about it. It ain't up for argument. It ain't up for debate. The authenticity of biblical miracles, including the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I think He just got up in a spiritual state. How stupid can you be? I could take about an hour and blow that theory. But I just leave it at this. Jesus Christ is in a body and He's sitting at the right hand of the Father tonight interceding for you and I that have placed our faith in Him. And if He's not, hey, we're of all men most miserable.
Right.
If He's not risen, we're in trouble.
Right.
It's not up for debate. The miracles. Well, I don't know. I heard one guy, I think I read it. They was talking about, I can't remember your name, but I was reading a thing one time, and they was talking about Jesus when He went walking on the water, and Peter came walking on the water to Him. And they was talking about the great scientific thing that took place there, and how the wind came in at just the right temperatures, and how they met, and it formed ice cubes. Just at the right time, these ice cubes were just formed. I mean, just for moments, they were there long enough for Peter and Jesus to walk on these ice cubes. How stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, how stupid. And I think, man, they got to really think hard to try to explain away what the Word of God says. And then y'all heard it, you know, the Red Sea and how God split the Red Sea and Moses took probably a couple million Israelites and they went through on dry ground. They didn't go through in the mud. They went through, I mean, I believe the dust was flying when they went through. I believe that's why Pharaoh didn't know exactly where it was because the dust was in his eyes. That's how dry the ground was. And somebody said, well, and then the Bible says that then the waters, God put them back together and drowned Pharaoh and all his army. Somebody said, well, that wasn't the Red Sea, it was the Reed Sea. It was only 6 inches deep. Well, that's a greater miracle yet. How did He drown Pharaoh and his army in 6 inches of water?
Right.
Come on. Y'all heard about the little boy that went to Sunday school and the teacher was teaching about Moses and how Moses led God's people out of Israel. I mean, out of Egypt and on the other side of the Red Sea and how God had delivered them. And he went, and the little boy listened, or he said he listened, and he went, and his mom asked, he said, what was Sunday school about? And she said, or the little boy said, well, Mom said he was talking about Moses and how Moses led God's people out of captivity. She said, well, how did he do it? He said, he got there in the desert, and he called his engineers, and he called all his developers together, and they come up, and they developed a great plant, and they produce steel. And he said they started making these jets, And he said they had these jets flying over and just bombing and making bombardments to delay the Egyptians from coming. And while they were doing that, they were building this huge bridge and tanks to get across on. And said, it was just awesome. And she said, son, she said, is that really how it happened? He said, no, but you wouldn't believe the way they said it happened. It's a miracle, friend. It's a miracle that God created, watch this, that God created a whale, a great fish, to swallow a man named Jonah. And not only to swallow him, but to keep him in his belly for 3 days and three nights, just like the Bible said, and then spit him up on dry ground so he could go do what God... That's a miracle. That's a miracle, bro. Caleb, you don't have to... You'll get to college, or maybe if you go to a public university, and they'll say, oh, that's just the myth, that's just the... That is a miracle of the Word of God.
Amen.
It's not up for debate tonight whether the Word of God's true. It's not God took just a few fishes and some loaves of bread, and one time He fed 4,000 plus, and one time He fed 5,000 men plus.
Right. Yep.
It happened. He really walked on water. He really rose out of the ground. Hey, on the third, He really rose from the dead. Not up for debate. The authenticity of biblical miracles, the literal return of Jesus Christ in the second coming. Somebody needs to stick with the faith tonight. Hey, I really believe that Jesus Christ one day, just like the Thessalonians, I really believe one day there's a trump going to sound. We're going to hear a shout and God's people's leaving out.
Right.
My brother Thomas Steele said, I'm going to hear a toot and I'm going to scoot. Amen. Well, hey, and thank God when we hear that toot, if you're saved, you're going to scoot. I believe it just like the book says it.
Right.
I don't believe for one iota that I'm going through 1 second of Daniel's 70th week.
Right. Amen.
Not 1 second of it. I'm not Israel. I'm not Jacob. Hey, I'm not going through the time of Jacob's trouble.
Right.
The literal return, the rapture, and the second coming of Jesus Christ bodily. He's coming back. After the rapture, the Bible, you understand your Bible prophecy, if you understand it well, hey, at any minute, imminently, hey, at any second, Paul said, we which are alive and remain shall be called. Hey, Paul thought that it could have happened while he was alive. He could have heard that trumpet. He could have heard that shout.
Yep.
Hey, it didn't happen then. It ain't happened yet. But hey, soon, and it could be very soon. I don't know. It may be another 1,000 years. I don't know. Whatever the Lord says.
Right.
Hey, but one day, hey, there's going to be a shout. There's going to be a trumpet, and God's people's leaving out. Soon after that, hey, Antichrist is going to raise. Hey, let me just say this. The scene's already being set.
Yeah.
Hey, it's prime for happening already over there. And Antichrist, this great Superman, is going to rise up. He's going to be a great leader. Hey, and after the rapture, he's going to reveal himself. He's going to sign a peace treaty with the nation of Israel. He's going to promise them great things. And from that point on, for the next 7 years, hey, literal hell on earth is going to be unleashed.
Right.
You say, well, let's just say, no, it's the wrath of God being poured out on sinful man.
Amen.
And watch it now. For 7 years. And the last 3.5 will be worse than the 3.5. But I hear people say, well, the first 3.5 is going to be peace. Hey, if I understand my Bible, the first 3.5 years is going to be peace for Israel, not for the world.
Right.
You read Revelation chapter, he's going to get into it in the Sunday school. Hey, Revelation chapter 6, you read about them four horsemen in the first half. Hey, there ain't nothing too peaceful about them four horsemen.
No.
I ain't sticking around to find it. If you want to, you hold on. You just stay here. But I am so pre. Hey, I'm pre, baby. Somebody said, I'm so pre, I don't eat post cereal. I don't know about that. I eat whatever cereal you put in front of me if it's good. Hey, but I'm telling you, hey, before the tribulation, hey, I'm checking out.
Right.
Hey, and John said, hey, and he said, come up hither. And when he says, come up hither, I'm getting up hither.
Right.
Amen.
Yep.
Hey, but what are you saying tonight? I'm saying that, hey, after those 7 years, Jesus Christ is coming back on a white horse. I believe on a white horse, just like the Bible said. And we're going to get ourselves ready, and we're going to follow Him. And He's coming back, and He's the Word of God. And I don't even believe He's going to have to lift a hand. I believe He's going to speak and destroy Antichrist and all the armies.
Right. Yep.
The word of His mouth. Pump. He's going to slay, and He's going to destroy them. And for 1,000 years, Brother Nick, 1,000 glorious years, Jesus Christ will rule and reign on planet Earth from over in Jerusalem.
Yep.
Amen. And David will be there, and I'll be there. And I don't know whether he'll have me in the Middle East or the or over in, hey, Virginia, eating cloth bologna, drinking Dr. Peppers. Amen. That sounds pretty good. I don't know where he'll have me. But I can tell you for 1,000 years, Jesus Christ will rule and reign a literal kingdom on this earth.
Right.
And after that, hey, he's going to set in eternity. And what are you saying? I'm talking about things that are not, hey, tonight, hey, we're not discussing them. Oh, we'll teach them. We'll show why we believe them. But hey, this is in the book and it's in there to stay.
Right.
Hey, it's time somebody, hey, amen, stands up and says, hey, and I'll be honest with you, you can be wrong if you want. You can believe in a post-trib, pre-trib, whatever. I'm pre-trib, all right? I'm pre-meal, pre-trib, all right?
Right.
And if you're smart enough to read the Bible, you will be. But if you say, well, I think we're going through half the tribulation, I think we're going, I don't care, you help yourself.
Right.
But here it is. You better believe that Jesus Christ is coming back, because He is. Somebody needs to stick with the faith. Somebody needs to stick with the things that we believe. Somebody, I know it's getting hot, it's getting long, but I want you to know, hey, where I stand on these things. These things are worth fighting. Somebody needs to stick with the stuff.
Yeah.
Let me say lastly, but not leastly, somebody needs to stick with the fire.
Yeah, right.
Now, I'm thinking about David off the battle. I don't know whether it was winter time. I don't know what it was, but I think those men go out to battle. Some of them may have got wounded. They might have got a sword cut or a knife cut. They might have got a bow and arrow through them. I don't know what they got. But they got dirt in them, man. They're tired. Maybe they come back, they're cold, they're wet. And they come back, and they don't need to come back to a cold fort. They need to come back somewhere where it's hot.
Right.
Somewhere where the fire is burning hot.
Right.
The Bible said in Revelation, I think it's chapter 3, verse 19, be zealous, therefore, and repent. That word zealous means to boil, to be hot, extremely. Be zealous.
Right.
That's a command. And repent. But be zealous and repent. Let me ask you, how hard are you tonight? Now, I know. I know. Well, everybody don't shout, and everybody don't holler, and everybody don't jump, and everybody don't run. But hey, how excited are you about the flames of God? To burn. Hey, and the Bible still says over in 1 Thessalonians, hey, chapter 5, quench not the Spirit. I've seen preachers, I've heard stupid people talk, and I've seen youth groups go off and they get all excited and they'll come back into the church and the pastor would say something like, well, I'll give you 3 weeks and see how it's going. Hey, that's stupid. That's called quenching the fire. God lit a fire in some young people. God lit a fire in somebody, and somebody that's supposed to be encouraging them and edifying them and helping them along the way, and he took old wet blanket and put it out. And just put it out. And guess what? In 3 weeks, their fire was out, because you know why? The one that was supposed to be helping fan the flame and get them going and encouraging them and not agging them along the way, he put a wet blanket on it and said, hey, don't make me look bad.
Amen. Come on.
Don't make me look bad. And somebody said, well, I don't want to get too excited. You know, I don't want it to get out of hand. Let me say this. Hey, anything that's in my hands in trouble anyway, hey, it's time we go to church and let God have His way and just sit back and say, God, help yourself if you take over tonight. Hey, that's what we need. I don't need it in my hand. I don't need it in the deacon's hands. I don't need it in I just need it. Hey, our service and our worship needs to be in God's hands. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Let Him have control. That means He's in control. He's leading. He's guiding. Hey, He dictates the pace of the service.
Right.
If it's quiet, it's quiet. If it's one in shouting, running, hollering, crying, weeping, throwing hankies, hey, so be it. Let God have His way.
Right.
Somebody says, well, I'm afraid it's going. Well, I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to tell you like this. There's enough wet blankets, it ain't never going to get out of hand.
Right.
So just go ahead and throw yours to the side and let the fire burn, baby.
Right. Yeah.
Let the fire burn. There's enough deadbeats in the church. They'll keep it tuned down.
Right.
I had a preacher one time I used to really appreciate and respect, and he got me in the pickup one day, and we was going down the road, and he said, son, he said, don't you think one of these days, he said, don't you think you'll calm down, and you'll tone down a little bit, and you'll calm down in your preaching and your delivery? And I looked at him with the most respect I could, and I looked him, and I looked you in the eye the same way tonight, and I said, sir, I sure hope not. Hey, let me say it like this. I don't want to tune it down. I don't want to tone it down. I don't want to calm it down. I'm saying Jesus Christ is real. The Word of God is real. The blood's real. Hell's real. Heaven's real. Old time religion's real. Hey, I want to tune it up. Tune it up. Tune it up, baby. Get it hot. Get it hot. Get it hot.
Amen.
Somebody needs to turn up the fire. Somebody needs to turn up the heat. Somebody needs to quit being a thermostat and start being a, quit being a thermometer and start being a thermostat. Turn up the heat, baby. Our churches, we wonder why we don't make the impact. We wonder why we don't influence souls. We wonder why we can't win souls. We wonder why young people come to church and say there's nothing going on in there worth looking at. I think I'll check out and go to the ball game. I think I'll check out and go to the rock concert. I think I'll check out and go down to the mall. I'll tell you why. Because they come to church and it's dinner at 4 o'clock in the morning. Nobody wants to shout. Nobody wants to praise the Lord. Nobody cares about getting excited about the things of God anymore. We still around like, oh, this is old school. I've been here and done this. I've been here and done this. By the way, preacher, what time is it? American Idol comes on in 30 minutes. The Bible still says, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Anything that gets between you and God is an idol. I'm telling you, church, if you want to make a difference in Walnut Cove, it ain't time to turn it down. It's time to turn it up.
Right.
Turn it up. Turn it up.
Amen. You're right.
It's time to get it hot. It's time to get excited. We used to sing that song. I loved it. We used to sing it when I was a kid. My mom and dad, we used to go to revivals and they'd sing songs. And it was like this. Get all excited. Go and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Get all excited. Go and tell everybody that Jesus Christ is King. Jesus Christ is still the King of Kings.
Amen.
And you know what? We don't go out and tell too many people that Jesus is King. You know why? Because we ain't excited about it anymore. Our fire is dwindling, baby. I'm sorry. I think there's some people that used to be on fire, but they've crawled up underneath the comfort of a nice wet blanket. Cool me off. I don't want to get burned up.
Oh my.
The fire's too hot. It's too uncomfortable. Let me say this. It's time that once in a while we go to church and get a little uncomfortable.
Right. Come on.
If you go to church every service and you're always comfortable, something's wrong there. Something's wrong with you or the church one.
Right.
I promise you, friend, if you live in the same world I live with and deal with the same stuff I deal with, you ain't perfect enough to come to church and nothing ever hits you in the heart.
Right. Amen.
You say, well, preacher, you got on my toes. It wasn't my toes I was shooting. It was your heart I was hitting.
Right. Come on.
And it wasn't me. It was the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm telling you, church, I could preach all night right here, but it's time we turn up the fire. It's time it gets hot. And it's time, it's not, 2011 is not the time to back down. It's not the time to falter on these things. It's not the time to, hey, we'll vote on it at the next meeting.
Oh my.
Well, the world's going to hell. Most churches, by and large, that I've been associated with and preached in and traveled, most churches on a Sunday night, they're about half empty. I commend you because the ones, I know there's not many people going here right now, yet. But hey, I commend you because the ones that's here, y'all pretty faithful.
Right.
And I want to commend you tonight. I'm not trying to hurt you, I'm trying to encourage you. I commend you for that. But most churches tonight, the people that are in them, they ain't too faithful. They used to be, but it's too much sports. The Coca-Cola 600's on tonight. Told my wife coming over here before I got saved, I'd have found me a TV somewhere. I'd have been propped up with pizza and potato chips and a Pepsi, and I'd have been watching the Coca-Cola 600. But God saved you. He make a difference. And listen, if He saved you and He's good enough to save you, my friend, He's good enough to get you excited about what He saved you for. Hey, if your God can't get you back to church when the church door's open, I'd check up and see if He can get you to heaven.
Come on.
I'm just saying it's time to turn the spiritual intensity up, not down. Does it matter? Well, David had some men that was with him. They couldn't go to battle. They couldn't do the preaching. They couldn't do all that. But he said the part, the reward, their inheritance. He said, but as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff. They shall part alike. Miss Brenda, you will never preach a message. You may never have the greatest Sunday school class in the East Coast. You may never, Brother Jimmy, you may never have a Greyhound bus with 300 people on it. But I'm telling you, you can be faithful where God's got you and make a difference in the society and the culture in which you live.
Right. Amen.
I'm telling you, it makes a difference. And if somebody don't stick with the stuff, friends, you think it's bad now.
Come on.
You look in politics. I hate to even think about politics. You say, why you mention it? Because it's sad. Somebody's got to say something.
Yeah.
I hate to think about, if I ever have any children, pray to God the country they're going to have to live in. Boys, y'all better pray hard. It ain't getting no easier out there.
Right.
Mom and Daddy, you better wrap them in prayer and keep your hold of the horns of the altar.
Right.
What's going to happen? It's one here, it's one there. Well, it don't matter tonight. I won't go. It don't matter tonight. We don't have to have family devotions. It don't matter no more. It don't matter. It's one at a time. And Satan puts a little wool over their eyes and blinds one at a time and one at a time. This one quits this. This one drops this. This one lets this standard go. This one compromises here. This one gives up here. This one says, well, it don't matter. This one says, oh, I'm tired of the fight.
Right.
And sooner or later, hey, the enemy comes in and says, wait a minute, that's one I can take.
Yep.
That's one I can take. I don't think I'll take this whole fort. You wonder why. Well, you wonder why churches that used to be. You can get on the internet. You can find tapes and CDs of Brother Mays Jackson, people like that, going through some of the old-fashioned churches they used to preach in. You can go in some of them churches tonight, contemporary, compromise. Hey, there's a church on the north side of Charlotte, amen. Hey, there's a church on the north side of Charlotte that the preacher was one of the staunchest fundamental preachers that ever walked. And you go in there tonight, and they ain't no King James Bibles in the place tonight, probably. Used to be a soul-winning station. Now it's contemporary and compromise. And they ain't just for other things. They against the King James.
Oh my.
You say, well, you've heard. No, I've talked to the people. I know what I'm talking about. I ain't telling you what I think. I'm telling you what I know. You say, how'd that happen? One at a time.
Right.
One at a time.
Right.
Let the fire go out. I think you know, it ain't worth arguing about. You know, just any version's all right as long as it's the Bible. Well, things that are different are not the same. You say, what are you going on and on? I'm telling you, I seriously, I'm not going to do it. I'm about to close. But I could preach all night right here. Because it matters. Hey, Walnut Cove's going to see a revival. It's not going to be through complacency and some cold-hearted, some lukewarm Christian. If Walnut Cove, North Carolina, Walkertown, North Carolina, King, North Carolina, Pinnacle, Germantown, Winston, if anybody's going to, and let me just say, ain't nobody doing it like we ought to.
Right. Come on.
I love Brother Bobby, and God, but they ain't doing it like we ought to. Ain't none of, and don't, I'm not being negative. Ain't none of us got the heat up like we ought to. If we really, if we really believe Jesus was coming at any time and people was going into a Christless eternity, would you really live your life the way you do? Would you do what you're going to do tonight?
Come on.
I'm not being mean. I'm just throwing the challenge out there. Something to think about. God help us. Father, in Jesus' name. Lord, work in our hearts tonight. God, I've tried to preach, Lord, just exactly what you put on my heart. God, I pray in Jesus' name, Lord, I don't want to say anything hateful. I don't want to say anything that would be displeasing to you. But God, Lord, I'm really burdened. And God, I pray in Jesus' name tonight, Lord, I don't want to work some emotional stir up. But God, oh, how good it would be to see people faithful, see people on fire, see people shouting and praising the victory. Oh, God, to see people getting saved. See people going soul winning. See people challenged. God, it would be so great tonight to see your church on fire for you. Lord, I pray you take the message tonight. Lord, you know who needed to hear what they needed to hear. And God, the best I know how, I've been your servant tonight. I pray you take it. I pray you be pleased. Have your will and way and all that's said and done in Jesus' name. Amen.